to the Speed City Podcast, coming to you from Austin, Texas, home of the new Circuit of the Americas racetrack, and home of Formula One Grand Prix 2012 United States. We're talking cars, motorcycles, anything that goes fast, from Formula One to local car shows. This is John, and I'm here with Les. How's it going, Les?
Hey, doing good this week.
We got a lot of stuff going on, as usual. Austin is still hopping with COTA, Formula One, and all sorts of motorcycle news.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun motorcycle stuff coming up, and some good street ride stuff, too.
That's right. We got that good show coming up, and we've got the a lot of news about Indy. I know we talked about that last week, and a lot of news about land development around the track, and we got some good news about, or some interesting news about MotoGP. So let's jump right in. I wanted to, I got kind of fired up about Indy after last week's announcement that the rumors were flying and that COTA was definitely interested.
We're a week past when they said we'd hear about it, or I'd say the rumors said we would hear about it. They said it'd be Wednesday. Here we are Wednesday night. There's no more discussion of Indy than what we had last week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm okay with it. Certainly, I'd love to see Indy here, but I'm okay if something else fills its shoes.
Oh, there's going to be plenty. I got excited about it, and I fired up the Speed TV and watched last week's Alabama race with, I think it was Will Power with the Chevy 1.
Don't you love that name?
Yeah.
Willpower.
Willpower.
Sounds like superhero or something.
Yeah. And I was intrigued by the new motors they're running this year, where they've got the Chevy twin turbo and then the Honda single turbo, and they were talking about the characteristics of both. Like, I mean, when I think of twin turbo versus single, I think single being big top end power and twin being, you know, right off the line, no turbo lag, but I think that's got a lot to play out in that one. But that was good to watch. It was fun. I don't know. Did you see any of it?
I didn't get to see the Indy stuff. I had a lot of others going on, but it was cool. I watched the bike race, and I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Well, let's talk about COTA, like we like to do, to start off with. I know that we have been hearing about land development around it, and one of the big stories was how land development, it was in the Austin paper, how land development was kind of sluggish around the track, and I don't know if you guys saw, but I tweeted, when I hear that, I'm thinking opportunity. I'm thinking that there may still be deals to be had out there. So that was the first thing that popped in my head.
Yeah, I kind of laughed about it in some ways, and you know, wish I was prepared to go snap up some acreage. I tweeted about this 5-acre plot that was out there with a home and a barn and that kind of thing. You know, here we are right at 2 years, and Elroy still doesn't have a lot going on. I mean, we all know about Wild Bubba's Bird Place, and I got to make it down there for that. I just got to make it down there. It sounds awesome.
We need to do the podcast from there. That's what we need to do.
Hey, there you go.
I bet you they would let us do that.
We'll have to talk to those guys, see how that goes.
Well, I saw a really cool website about all the land that was available in the area, MarketplaceTexas.com. And I didn't spend a ton of time there, but they had a good layout of the zoning all around the track, what was commercial, what was retail, what was residential, and it laid it out pretty good. So if you're thinking of something to go out there, I think that's a good place to look.
Well, you know, one of the things that they said was if you get a permanent structure permit, you're not going to be able to execute and deliver by November 18th
mm-hmm.
this year. So that kind of really opens up the opportunity to do some temporary items. You know, we talked about temporary heliports, and somebody down there had posted up they'd let you bring your self-contained RV down there and park on their property and
mm-hmm.
bring a bicycle so you can ride over to the track because it was real close. And so there's some other kind of under-the-radar income that I think is going to be picked up by the locals that are there that already have the property.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, and like they're saying, permanent stuff, I think after we get a race under our belt, that's going to make a big difference. But I think that there's going to be stuff that pops up at the end there that towards November that are going to surprise everybody, I bet you.
Oh, I agree. I think once they see the first one come and go, I think they're going to wish they could back up the clock about a year or two and move on some of this.
You were reading out of the Statesman article a while ago. I saw that, well, that same website, they're quoting them in there as well, the marketplace, and they're talking about the possibilities. But he talks about a lot of people on the fence, a lot of tire kickers. And you know what? It says the same thing I just said. It says that I think the big money is not willing to risk it until the checkered flag drops. I'm amazed that people still think it may not happen, especially when you go out there now. I think that's going to make anybody a believer now with all the work that's done. But
yeah, I tend to agree. I think that track is going to be there. I think F1's going to happen. And I think there's going to be quite a few other things going on. I know they're talking about some of the things that the changes they see. You know, I thought it was kind of funny that one of the things they highlighted was that the local feed store changed from whatever it was before to Grand Prix General Feed Store.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy change. I think he just went out there with a paintbrush and changed the sign. But
you know, hey, at least he's got a clue and he's going to go deal with that. You know.
No, I think it's great. Did you see the land prices? It says here they're ranging from, in the area, I mean, obviously everything from zoning to proximity, but $15,000 an acre to $261,000 an acre.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, I know they were concerned about the power availability out there. Well, they've got a brand new power station right by the area, and if you're in the right path, you're on it.
The one that Circuit of the Americas paid for and set up. Is it already online?
It's already been delivered. I don't know if it's fired up yet. But
yeah,
I have a feeling there's not a lot of power demands on that property yet, but soon will be, I bet.
Yeah, and obviously that makes a big difference. If you don't have enough power for either a commercial or whatever, then your price of your land or the limited scope of what you can do with it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, I mean, there's, you know, I have a feeling Wild Bubba's Grill is going to move out of the gas station spot, or, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he turned up something larger. I know he's looking for an investor to open another location downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown Austin, that is, not Elroy. It's kind of the same, whether it's downtown or the outlying of Elroy.
Well, but, speaking of outlying, I was talking to somebody on Twitter this morning. They were asking about San Antonio. Is it possible, because all the hotels are filling up and the prices are skyrocketing around November 18th, they were talking about San Antonio. And I know we've touched on it, but it's just that San Antonio is going to be a good option because by that time we'll have that new toll road open and you'll have I-35, so you'll have two big, huge highways to get up to the track, and both of them are going to be very accessible because the track's on that part of south part of town.
Honestly, I think San Antonio is going to be a sweet spot for somebody flying in. It really is an hour from the track,
and
it's got a sizable airport. I've seen some huge aircraft landing down there on the San Antonio airport.
Well, you know, San Antonio is one of the, from a visitor's perspective, they get a lot more visitors than Austin, or at least they have in the past. Austin's catching up with South by growing and ACL and everything, but San Antonio is set up for visitors. The Riverwalk and all the restaurants, I think they were one of the, you know, there's other cities with riverwalks, but the San Antonio Riverwalk is pretty cool, and that city is definitely set up for a lot of visitors.
It really is. It's been one of the top destinations in Texas for visitors. It's also a great place, especially if you're coming from south. A lot of times when I've been around San Antonio, you see a lot of folks that have crossed the border from Mexico and come up. And
yeah.
So they're very familiar with that area. A lot of great places to eat, places to see, and be entertained. You got the Alamo down there, a lot of historic mission properties. So, you know, it's not a bad spot to set your home base for the week of F1 and see the sights of Texas and a lot of the history.
Yeah, and with the fan base in Mexico, I think you'll see a lot of that. Hey, we were talking about Indy a while ago. I wrote this note down because I thought it was interesting. I don't think Honda holds this title right now, but they've have in the past, and they're always in the running for most fuel efficient car manufacturer overall. And I just thought it's interesting because Honda was such a big part of Indy, and how they have a deep history in racing, but they're also one of the most fuel efficient car manufacturers. So I thought those are not coincidence. Yeah. So
no, they were in to the racing bit quite a while back, and it's just something else, you know, just another reinforcement of, you know, what racing does for us. I mean, besides entertaining us on that race day, there's a lot of technology that ultimately makes it to the streets in a good way.
Well, you know, the old saying, win on Sunday, what is it, win on Sunday, sell on Monday.
There you go.
And so not only is it going to improve the brand just from visibility, but their technology and doing more with a gallon of gas. So that it just crossed my mind when I saw the stuff on Indy.
Yeah, you're right. Well, we said something about the bikes.
Yeah.
There was a tidbit that came out this week. Kevin Swantz, you know, Texas native Texan, the MotoGP champ some time back, he holds the rights to the MotoGP for the U.S., and he had actually penned a contract with Tavo Hellman, Full Throttle Productions. You've probably heard Tavo's name plenty of times around COTA, but Tavo is the one that owns that. It's not the COTA team that's in place right now.
He did the contract with Schwantz?
Yes. And so, you know, I remember reading that Tavo was a really close friend of Schwantz, and that was Kevin Schwantz saying that. So I really haven't heard anything else about MotoGP from the COTA camp, but I kind of think, you know, there's going to be another card, that an ace in the hole that Tavo has to deal with COTA. And, you know, I hope it lands here. Besides, this is Kevin's hometown, he says now. So I'm hoping it being Kevin's hometown plays well and getting not only that race, but his school here.
Yeah. I know he's an Austinite now. I think he's from Houston, but.
Yeah, he's a native from Houston, and then he used to come to Austin pretty regularly. I think I said once before, I watched him race in Austin Rifle Fest before I really knew where he was going with his racing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an awesome time.
There's a good link to that article. That's actually an interview on Speed TV. We have that link. I think we've posted it on Facebook, but we'll have it on the podcast website under this episode. So,
yeah
you need to check that out, because he talks about how it and the interviewer said the same things, that they really want this to happen and they need this to happen. And so the feeling I got was that they wanted it bad enough that it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I agree that there are going to be bikes there, but also realize MotoGP is not the only bike group there. MotoGP is the equivalent of F1.
Right.
And, you know, there are other sanctioning bodies beyond that. You've got the Superbikes. The Superbikes opened up last week in Italy, and that was the race I was stuck to. Carlos Checa was just screaming and just had an awesome race. He won both races. If you haven't ever seen the Superbike, you know, some of the bike races, they actually run two races at any given stop. And so he won both of them. And so somebody said pulling a double. And so that's what they call it. And he did it on his Ducati, but, you know, the track was really cool. I mean, I could just see, you know, getting out on that track was amazing, it looked like.
Well, you had Superbikes, and MotoGP opens this weekend?
This weekend in Qatar. And so, you know, the cool thing about the Qatar location and this race is it's the only night race of the season. And so if you've never seen a night race with bikes, they just look electric under the lights, and just a really cool scene to see. So check it out, MotoGP. I think it's on Speed this weekend. But I look forward to seeing that. You know, one of the things that there's yet another bike group, and some of the local guys are around it, and that is kind of through the AMA, and that is the Central Motorcycle Road Racing Association. This is kind of your locals club or regional group. And they'll be out at College Station at Texas World Speedway. They'll use Motorsports Ranch at Crescent up, you know, in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. And they also use the Motorsports Ranch near Houston. Kind of the differentiation between these bikes, you start off with that group. And those are the bikes you bought at the dealership and maybe tweaked, and they might be your daily ride or something a little more so. The super bikes are tuned-up production bikes, and so that's the next grade, the World Super Bikes. That's a bike like you see at the dealership, but, you know, you've probably dismantled it and gone crazy with the mods and the lightning and everything. And then the MotoGP, this year there's one change with the MotoGP that's pretty substantial. In past years, they had limited the displacement to 800 cc's. And so this year, they're bumping up to 1,000 cc's. Big difference. Now,
that's a big jump, yeah.
That's a pretty big jump. These are, you know, like I said earlier, these are F1 equivalent motorcycles. They only have two stops in the U.S. That's Indy and Laguna Seca. And those are typically July and August, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like F1, they travel the world. They've got, I believe it's 18 races this year. And like F1 or similar, the last one in the season ends in November. Mm-hmm. And so quite a diverse set of tracks that you're going to see them competing in. But hopefully that'll give you a little intro to the bikes if you've never seen it. But, you know, if we don't see MotoGP at COTA this year, there's a couple other options to see some really good racing here.
You mean in 2013? Yeah.
Correct.
Well, I know there's going to be plenty of bike events out there too. We talk a lot about the cars, but there's going to be plenty of bike type events, from whether big or small. There's bound to be, because they've talked so much about trying to fill the calendar with events, and so why not fill it with bikes too, with car, you know, along with the cars.
I think you're going to see everything. I mean, I definitely like the cars and bikes, and I love the nostalgic stuff that you know, the Rolex Historic Series and some of the Vintage Racing Group. There's a couple of sanctioning bodies for Vintage Racing, and I'd love to see the old cars and the old bikes, all the above come.
What else about COTA? I saw they released some great aerial photographs today. They're on COTA's website, so those were, you got to check them out if you haven't seen them. They showed, one of the things they talked about was all the rain. You know, last year all the talk was, oh, it's going to be so hot, we're in the middle of this drought, and since then we've had a ton of rain, so that you can see all that on the...
Yeah, somebody had made the comment of, look at all the greenery around the property now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely greened up around here, and lots of things are pollinating, and it's winding up in my sinuses for sure.
Yeah, and when you come to Austin, you find out about allergies too, so... Oh, let's see what else we have on our radar today.
The New York Auto Show is running right now.
Oh,
and
that's
today,
right.
There was a big one roll out.
Yeah.
If you've been missing out on the Vipers, the new one, the 2013 was unveiled today, and there's some pretty cool stuff. You know,
I knew it was coming out. I saw the previews yesterday, but I didn't have time to click on any details. And I know you probably know, but I'm going to guess 680 horsepower.
Just a little shy of that. Good guess, though.
What is it? I'm looking it up right now.
I want to say it was 640.
640? I mean, that's great, but I mean, there's always been the Viper versus ZR1.
Right.
Viper horsepower.
Yep, and so it's the 640.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the balance is pretty good now. It's been just building up. It's still, the Viper is shown as 4.9 pounds per horsepower.
Yeah, what does it weigh?
I see the weight. I didn't see the weight, but, you know, they're saying that is in the neighborhood of the Bugatti Veyron and the Ferrari F12. And so...
Because the ZR1 with the supercharge is 638. Ah. Okay, so now I get it. 638 to 640. Now, do you remember the first gen Viper and the first gen ZR1 from, well, the 1990 to 95.
Wasn't that 405 horsepower?
Yeah, yeah. So the ZR1 came out and it had 375. And then the Viper came out and it had 400. And then immediately the next year, the ZR1 had 405. So now we're down to 638 and 640. So, and the ZR1 is about, I think it's about 3,200 pounds. It's a little bit more than the Z06. But I just want to find out what that Viper weighs. Just,
yeah, they're running 355 tires on the back, so there's still steamroller tires under that back end.
Yeah.
But, you know, here, I've got a little diversion. So in, I guess that was 1991, I was playing around in the Shelby Cobra reproductions, and very nice ones. But the owner of the company that I was driving for was a friend of Carroll Shelby's. And I remember him calling the guy I was driving for on a Thursday evening and said, hey, can you get over to College Station in the morning?
Yeah.
And the guy said, probably so. Why? And he goes, well, bring your driver. And so the guy I was driving for at the time calls me, and he said, Thursday evening, he says, hey, can you get to the track tomorrow morning? And for whatever reason, the real world was in the way, and I couldn't make it. But come to find out, they spent the day with Carroll Shelby checking out the first half dozen or so Dodge Vipers that were there.
Uh-huh.
And I've kicked myself ever since.
I drove...
Not playing hooky that day.
Yeah.
And going to meet, you know, somebody I've always looked up to, Carroll Shelby, and all his cars and innovation. But, you know, even more so to get to see and, you know, ride and drive one of the first Vipers ever built.
Well, I actually drove, not a Viper, but a ZR1, the first, the C4 ZR1 on Texas World.
Ah.
Of course, it was raining the day we rented the track. I think I talked about that, but yeah, I got to drive out there. But I found the official weight on ZR1 is 3350 or 3340, depending on which website. But I still want to find the weight of the Viper. We'll come back to that. But so that's other new car stuff. I noticed an incredible innovation did catch my eye was the new vibrating seats in the Cadillac. I wasn't sure what they were talking about. If this was
who are they marketing to? That's a vibrating seat.
Yeah, I was wondering are they targeting a different like a female demographic? But I wasn't sure. But turns out it's like a cell phone vibrate to let you know of something like whether it's whether it's a lane change sensor or you know a blind spot sensor or something like that
to wake you up.
Yeah, to wake you up. So
I was. Taking care of an Infiniti, and it was interesting because it had one of those, and would just start beeping. I couldn't figure out why, but it would detect if you're over near your lane stripe. Yeah, you know, once I figured that out, was if you got near it without your turn signal on to indicate you were changing lanes, it would buzz at you.
Yeah, yeah. I had a friend who rented a Ford Focus, and it gave him some strange error on the dash when he reached the top speed, and turns out it was limiting it, but it had a weird error. But and I think it's specifically for rental cars now, but you're seeing all sorts of...
Is this the Focus, did you say?
Yeah. 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 Why? How you end up hitting the top speed of a Focus, I'm not... Maybe they had it down...
Downhill,
set it like 80.
Stiff wind. You know,
yeah.
Somebody pushing from behind.
Yeah, but yeah, there's all sorts of nannies and stuff as even worse than they have been, so...
That's not any fun. That's not any fun.
All right, what else do we have? We've got a car shows on our radar here.
Oh, yeah, we've got some car shows coming up. But, you know, hey, just in case you've been looking at the website's going through a makeover. There's been a lot of traffic coming to it, and thanks for passing it around because obviously somebody out there is talking about it.
Yeah, and we're getting lots of followers and likes, Facebook and Twitter. And
Yeah, and we really haven't put a lot into the campaign of this, so appreciate y'all sharing this podcast. But we're going to add some things to try to address some of the things that have been brought up. One is, one of the ideas was, is there a good place to go find out where all the shows are happening in the area? And, you know, we're going to try to address that for you. We're going to put up a calendar.
Because there's really not. There's not a single source, at least that I've found so far.
And so, yeah, we're going to put up a calendar and try to help you get those out. Whether you're putting on the event or you just want to find out something to go do today or the weekend, we'll try to be a place you can go come find that information. The other thing that somebody asked me about was, did I know of a club for his car? And, you know, it turned out to be an easy one. But we're going to put up, and we'll offer a link swap. If you have an automotive or motorcycle association or group and you put us on your website, the link to our podcast, we'll trade with you and we'll put yours up on our website.
Yeah.
As long as it's a nice, you know, website, it's a good group, you're not getting in trouble, and we aren't either, we'll trade links with you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, I was watching Top Gear last night. The U.S. version.
The U.S. version.
I know. It's not as good, but it's still...
Well, it's different.
It's actually still a decently produced car show, I think. In fact, more than decent. I think it's produced pretty well. It shares a lot of that, you know, the good production with the European one. I don't like it as much, but it's still pretty good. And my young daughter liked it. And so I'm going, that's great. Anything, if she'll watch a car show with me, I love it.
Oh, you bet. But what were they doing that she liked?
You know, it was right about her bedtime, so I'm going to investigate that further. I went ahead and recorded it. So I'm definitely going to hone in on that and figure out what it is. But they were doing the world's worst cars. They had a Yugo, a Mustang 2. I thought it was funny when they did a makeover at the end for the Mustang 2. He scraped off the 2, thinking, because they sell them, you know, they think you might get more. And what was the third? Oh, the other one was an Aztec. But what was really cool, that was fun and all that, but the car they featured as a supercar, I kind of forgot about. It's the Noble. You remember the Noble?
Oh, the Noble, yeah.
The
M6 and the M900.
Well, they just talked about, I think it was the M600, I think is what it was, but it had a Yamaha designed, I think, or maybe fully built Yamaha V8. And they said, the way they described it, said it had 100 and something horsepower more than a Mini. So I think it's somewhere north of 600. But it's obviously incredibly light, all carbon, an entire carbon fiber body. But it had a stainless steel frame. But they had it on there to do a couple things. They had it comparing a couple different cars, but they had it do a top speed run. And so Tanner took it up to 215 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a new top for him.
Yeah, and they did. And that was actually a new top for the car. That's as fast as it had been tested. They're claiming 225, but it was 215. That was a freaking awesome car because it has no electronic nannies at all. No, or at least no stability.
Right.
It does have a little traction control, but that's it. And they drag raced it against an Audi V10 and smoked it, and a Lamborghini, and you have to say the name because I can't remember, Super Leggero or whatever.
Right.
And it beat that one too in the drag race. And but what was cool is that both those cars are all wheel drive.
Oh yeah,
and
so the Super Leggero is just a beast, and it is all wheel drive.
Well, the Noble gave up a ton of room at the beginning, but the top end of the track, he was smoking. He was probably 5 miles an hour faster at the top end. I think it was a half mile, actually, not a quarter mile.
But yeah.
Anyway, that was
it. May have been more than that. I was down at the Texas Mile a couple of years ago driving for a guy, and Tanner Faust was there.
Yep.
And his goal for the weekend was to break 200 miles per hour. And if you ever watched the Supercar Challenge that Tanner Faust used to be on, you'll see him go through a couple of cars and then ultimately get in a Ford GT. And he breaks 200 in the Ford GT while we're there watching, and seemed like a lot of fun. He was really excited about it.
Well, he's a hell of a lot of fun to watch drive because, you know, he's a drifter guy.
Yeah, he's a Formula D drift champion.
Yeah,
I believe it was.
And it was cool because they just had him inside of a building, and they had the other two cars, the Lamborghini and the Audi. They were parked, you know, 20 feet apart, and he was drifting the Noble in and out like a figure eight, just. Had incredible control. Was pretty fun.
Man, I don't know that I'd have the nerve to do that, even if I could drift like that.
Nah, he makes it look easy.
Well, good deal. Let's see, what are some other things? We'll talk shows here in a little bit, because I'm going to go on a long rant on the show.
On the
shows,
it's
a good
one.
It's a good one, you know it. But there's a few other things coming up. One of the things that I wanted to bring up, there was a sad story on the news, and I'm not going to go into that one. But basically talking about teenage drivers.
Oh, yeah. I saw your link.
And
that's a good one.
I cannot emphasize how much I am behind this program called Driver's Edge. And their website's driversedge.org. I've met the owner, Jeff. They are out of Las Vegas. And they travel the country. And they'll bring in nice vehicles. And when we went, I've got three daughters. Each of them have been through this. I even, you know, took extra kids with us on one trip to go get in this. I know there is a racing group called Driver's Edge. This is not it.
Yeah.
This is everything about getting your teenager to know better how to handle the unexpected situations. Know what it's like to have a car going sideways. Know what it's like to have to make an emergency lane change and not take out the car two lanes over from you. Just a super fantastic. I'm going to put the link up, driversedge.org. Go on to their website if you've got a teenager. It's anybody with a a learner's permit up until age 21, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And the event is free. You have to sign up. This is like the hottest ticket. And
that's right. It's hard to get into, isn't it?
It is, very much so. Right now, I see there's a Dallas stop being planned. Go to their website. Look on their registration site. On that registration page, the tour dates and registration, you're going to find a link in the body of that to the notification list. Go into the notification list, fill it out.
You get signed up on the kind of a waiting list?
This lets you know when they're about to open the ticket window for this event for your locations. I've been working to try to get them in Austin. We're not there yet. You'll probably have to go to Dallas or Houston. The last time I took the trip to Dallas for it, the first time I went to Houston, both times, Austin crowd, you will see some of the notable drivers and instructors there are out of racing industry, out of stunt car industry, although that's really not what they're teaching you kids.
Yeah.
Teaching your kids how to deal with that car that spins, how to avoid an accident yet maintain control, lots of things like that. So I'm definitely putting that link up.
Yeah, that's a good deal. I saw you put it up, and I didn't have a chance to watch the whole thing, but I've got one that's about to, it's a little bit, a couple years out, but it's about to do that. So,
like I said, once they have a learner's permit, they are qualified to go. Just you got to get your name on the list the instant the window opens.
Well, that was driver school. That's how I convinced my wife to let me go to Skip Barber Racing School. I said, "Honey, it's just not fun. This is all about learning safety, learning threshold."
That.
Yeah, that's right. And all my kids know the Skip Barber. One of their favorite sayings there is a squealing tire is a happy tire. Even my 7-year-old daughter says that when she hears me squealing. It's a happy tire, Dad. So
there you go. There you go. Taught her well, as long as she doesn't start doing it anytime soon.
Yeah, she can't do that. Only Dad. I saw something here I want to get slid in here. I know we were talking about code earlier, but I missed it. There's a plan. The TxDOT, Texas Department of Transportation, is doing their part to get cars in and out of COTA. They've raised the speed limit on SH-130 to 80 miles an hour out there.
Hey, that'll be great.
Have you been out in West Texas with those 80-mile-an-hour speed limits where everybody sets their cruise on 88?
Right. No, but one of the guys I deal with had to make a trip out there, and he said he was flying along. He said, probably about that speed, if not a little bit more. And the troopers, were everywhere and didn't seem to care a bit. And he says, and he finally saw one car pulled over, and he was like, "What in the world was that guy doing to get pulled over?"
Yeah, I remember I had the cruise set on. It was probably 86 or 7, and because it's just there's nothing out there, including no radio stations.
Yes, you can see till tomorrow.
Yeah, if you don't have XM or something, you're in trouble. But I had it set, and I just
save this podcast.
That's right. So I had a cruise, the cruise set on 86, 7, or 8, whatever, and I just slowly started creeping up on a car, and I realized it was a DPS, and I just left it and just slowly crept by him, and he was probably going 85, and there was, everybody out there was doing the same thing. But yeah, TxDOT is going to try to help get the cars in and out of COTA come November 18th as well, so we'll thank them for that.
Well, good deal, yeah, I never look forward to the West Texas trips, but... at least a higher speed limit will make it seem like it'll move a little quicker through there.
Yeah. I joke about it, obviously, because, I don't know how they're going to deal with all the traffic coming in and out of there, but it'd be nice to know that once you break free of that, you're going to be able to get where you're going fast.
Right. So did you get out this weekend for anything?
I did. I just put my car up on the lift this weekend. Is all I did as far as car stuff. I just did a quick oil change. Put a fresh load of Mobil 1 in, and the weather right now in Austin is incredible. I mean, it's been mid-80s, fantastic weekends, and so that's all. I don't think I did anything else on the lift. Did you? You finished up the Jeep? The Bronco.
I've got that early Bronco I'm working with now, and we're getting a little further on it, and did a tune-up. It's got that thing running like a champ now. It just sounds great. Gonna size up the tires and see about a little increase upsize there. And should be nice. Going to pull the top off here before long. The owner was saying today he'd like to have that top off. So we're going to pull that and put it in storage and go have some fun with that.
you know, we're talking about traffic management. There's that story that the county set a deadline. I think it was June. Let's see. Yeah, June 1st for Formula One to submit their traffic plan.
Right. Well, you know, they've done their homework already. We talked about the traffic appraisal and everything that they had done and kind of the estimates that they have built up. And so, you know, they're quite a ways down the path on that. So I don't think that's really a scary thing for them. But certainly they need to, you know, establish their plan, let everybody know what's going on and figure out where they're going to need support or make some adjustments to it.
Yeah, I'm certain they've got it all figured out.
But so that's looking good. You know, like I said, coming into the home stretch for them.
Well, what about our car shows? I know you're the car show guy, so you've got all the scoop on all the different ones.
You know, I'm just jazzed. You know, this is Easter weekend. Get some rest and chase the bunnies away. Well, the big one is next weekend, April 13, 14, and 15, Lone Star Roundup, hosted by the Continental Club. There are some cool things, and I've got stories just to relate from the years of going there, and you know, there's guys that have been there all 11 years. This is their 11th year. Going to be a lot of fun. There's a guy bringing in, if some of y'all remember the name Sam Barris, one of the early hot rodders that really became well known for chopping Mercuries, and you know, had a 49 Mercury that was big in history around it. Well, that 49 Mercury is going to be here. The new owner, the latest owner, John Mumford, is bringing it in. So that's going to be awesome. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to hang out with Norm Grabowski. And Norm Grabowski did one of the first T-bucket cars, and they called it the Kooky T. And, you know, he's just a neat old guy that, you know, was having fun hearing stories of the early days of how they conjure up a solution or a custom piece to put on a car and how they go get something out of the junkyard and beat it until it was what they wanted it to be for their car. But that's really cool to see some of that.
Well, I know that Lone Star Roundup, I know the first, I'm looking at the schedule, but I knew it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but the first days out at Travis County Expo, that's the they're both Friday and Saturday. That's the one that I've been to. That's because I haven't done the downtown one at the Continental, but I took the boys out last year to Travis County Expo, and that was huge. It was bigger than I expected, and there were amazing custom cars out there. And they've got that big barn where they have all the vendors selling stuff.
They've got mini bike races Friday and Saturday. I think they're at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, that's cool.
Right, these are the old style, you know, pull start mini bikes.
Yeah. And, suspension being the tires.
Yeah, or your own cushion.
Yeah, or the seat. That's right. Yeah. Forgot about that. The seat, but, and the tires.
You know, go out and play in that. There's a lot of guys playing around and having some fun with those.
So if I take my Honda, mine's an XR50 frame, but it's got a clone 125 four stroke, and it's got 125 front shocks and rear swing arm and shock. So it's kind of a hot rod 50 that me and the boys just tinker around off. I can't take that.
No.
That'd be cheap.
It's got to be a little pull start, like, you know, a couple of horsepower, not much. Check their website, LoneStarRoundup.com, for that. That's a cool one. But, you know, we're going to have to go out there. I got to say, you know, as much as I love coming over and tinkering in your shop, the walls are kind of bare.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we've been talking about it. Yeah.
Hit the swap meet. We're going to decorate it up and kind of figure out what theme we're going to go with on this.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty easy.
I picked up some fun stuff last year, and, you know, it's neat.
That's a great idea.
And a lot of neat things out there for that. Plus, there's live bands, so, you know, you get tired of walking around, go sit down in front of the stage and have something cold to drink.
And some fried butter, probably.
You know, they've usually got something interesting out there. But, you know, if nothing else, it's just cool to see the creativity of these folks. You know,
cars are amazing, yeah.
I saw what looked like an A-altered Volkswagen Bug last year. The, you know, stretched dragster nose sticking out the front end of the Volkswagen Bug with a V8 in it. And I'd say it was actually turned out pretty cool. The guy pulled it off well. I mean, to describe it, you just can't imagine this looking like anything worthwhile. But But it was. So, you know, we'll talk to you again before that weekend. But
yeah, so, you need to know about this ahead of time. Plan it, because this is a big
one. We're giving you a warning so you can go do your to-do list and honey-do list and get your kitchen pass and save them up for the next weekend. You're going to want to.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I did go out to last Saturday. I just ran out to the Cedar Park car show just for a quick visit. What did I see? Oh, I saw a 911 that had – I took a picture with my phone. Let me see if I can grab it. We'll get that posted up. But it was a 911 with a small block Chevy in it.
The RS – yeah, I've seen that. I want to say he's got it named something like the RSS8 or something.
Something like that. Here's a picture of it. But and my flash wasn't working too well, but I'm thinking, okay, so this generation 911, this is an older one, not terribly old. I'm going to say it was probably in early 90s.
But, right.
So anyway, they never had a good reputation for, you know, the back end snapping around. I'm thinking, now, how does this one do with a Chevy small block?
Hey, you know, I met a gentleman over, I'd say it was end of summer last year, and I just saw him again at Cars and Coffee. Guy running around here with a little Mazda Miata that you need to be aware of. And it looks like every other little red Mazda Miata until you hear it, and he's running small block in it.
You're kidding. How did he fit that in there?
It actually fits very nicely.
Huh. You know, I haven't seen that conversion that you would think of.
It's the Monster Miata conversion, and it's really pretty neat. There's a couple of them around town. I saw one at Texas World Speedway a while back.
You know, now that you say Monster Miata, I think I have. It's just been a while.
But so, yeah, that'll be a fun one. But,
so you say I need to watch out at the stoplight?
I tell you, you have a little Miata pull up, and it's got a little rumble to it. It's definitely something else.
Yeah, here's some pictures of it, yeah. Heck yeah, it fits in there amazingly well.
Really?
Oh, that's a Ford. That's a 302 with a GT40 intake.
Yeah, it's the 5.0 liter Mustang. It looks looks just like what he's got there.
Yeah.
Not much clue until you hear the rumble.
Well, hey, speaking of the Miatas, did you see... it was Car and Driver, or one of the new car rags was talking about the new Miata, how they're going to get back to their roots and they're going to trim the weight back, because you know the original one was like, I want to say under 2,000 pounds or right at 2,000, maybe a little over, but you know it's just like almost all new cars with all the safety and stuff. It's grown, you know, bigger car, more horsepower.
Right.
What's funny, the skid pad numbers were the same in the 2012 as they were in 1990 or 89 when they came out. It was 0.91.
Right.
But they're talking about getting the weight back down, and that would be cool. I think that'd be fun. I've never been a huge fan. I always thought they were cool, but I just like the idea of them getting back to their roots and getting the weight back down.
I know there are several little track cars that people use the Miatas for around here, and great little lightweight car. You know, if you're looking into getting into some of the club racing, the Miata's a good car to grab.
Oh, for autocrossing? Yeah.
And even the Spec series that you can go out and get into the Mazda Spec series with it. And so, you know, there's enough in junkyards and have met their fate otherwise that you can get out fairly inexpensively, make it a daily car as well as your track car. And I have a good time with those. They're fun little toss-around cars.
I had a buddy who had an Opel GT. Remember those?
I do. My sister had one and got handed down to my brother, in which case it got ran over.
Really? Like, literally ran over?
Literally ran over.
Well, I was reading about those. Did you know that they had... you remember the... what was it called? The Sky, the Saturn Sky, and then the Pontiac, the little convertible.
Right.
Well, apparently, Opel... use that same platform. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
I did not. I read about that very recently. I didn't even know they had come out with that.
It was overseas, and it was the same thing.
Oh, so it was just a European release of the GM platform.
Yeah, it was the Pontiac Soltis, the Sky, and the Opel GT were all the same vehicle.
Huh.
Now, there was a cool Solus that got the...
The Solstice, isn't it?
It is Solstice.
Yeah.
And so,
they got the little turbo motor. It's like 260.
Well, there was somebody that put I believe it was an LS3 in one.
Ooh.
And so they did it all using GM off-the-shelf parts, or nearly all of them, and got it going. So Hey, Jim, why didn't you do that yourself?
Well, I think that's very cool, but I'm thinking, all right, so you've got a turbo car to start with, so you crank up the boost, open up the intake and exhaust, and push it over 300 with very little effort. You know, swapping in an LS3 is a whole different ball game.
Yeah, that you know, could be overkill. I don't know what it does for the balance, but you know, there's a lot of cool swaps around town. There's a
I love swaps.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I swapped a little motor into a Chevy Love truck way back when and put 31-inch tires under the back end and did all those kinds of things. Had a lot of fun running that little toy.
Well, I could have kicked myself. A few years ago, I found a Volvo. What's the real boxy one with the low-profile windows?
I do know which one.
You know which one I'm talking about. But mm-hmm. You remember there's a ton of those with V8s dropped in them. I had a chance to buy one for about... Oh, it was cheap, like $2,500, and it was a Chevy V8 conversion with a probably a turbo 350, and you could tell when it was done, when it was new, it was done fantastic. It was very, very well done, well engineered, but this one had just had a few too many miles. You know, I was thinking, all right, what if I could I swap in an LS6 or even an LS1, but. But I still think I regret it. I should have bought it. I almost bought it and didn't do it because I thought that would have been a fun sleeper. I just love to swap engines like that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's several of them. I mean, because that same one had the, there were Ford V8s going into them. I do recall that. But I had a 740 turbo for a while.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was a low pressure turbo, so it was low performance as well.
Well, that's one chip away, dude.
Yeah, well...
to high pressure.
it sufficed and did what it needed to be done at the time. But,
well, I don't know if... you know, Les, last week you talked about the possibility of, you know, the fashion shops. Have you got any more fashion news for us this week?
Oh, no. No, not at all.
I wasn't going to let you live that one down.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I don't have any more CODA stuff. I know that we had a pretty good week, a lot of stuff going on, but...
you know, the classic guys, all the 63, pre-63 stuff is going to be happening in Austin. So if you're looking to exit...
Across all brands? Almost?
All brands, everything imaginable. If you're looking to get away from that crowd for a little while, head up to Gerald. They're having their spring festival on the 13th and 14th. And so that includes a car show.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, head on up. It's, you know, not even, I guess it's about an hour, about 45 minutes north of Austin. If you want to go see a different car scene and not deal with all the classics and the rat rides and all the fun around here, there's a pretty good little setup up there.
It's so, next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, check out their website. It's cityofgerald.com, Jarrell.com. And you can find the information there with their news and events. And then, beyond that, it's going to be towards the end of April, and we're going to highlight the Bastrop crowd. The Bastrop area cruisers are getting together, and they're doing their Wounded Warrior show.
Oh, that's great.
Cruisers on the Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And that's April 28th. So check out the BastropAreaCruisers.com for more info. And definitely a worthy project there for Wounded Warriors.
Well, I have, I think we've covered most everything we wanted to this week. We have, I want to drop some little secret, actually can't talk about them, but we've still got some cool stuff coming up. A lot of it is where we're going to be doing the podcast. We've got some cool mobile locations that we're going to be doing, and those are going to be fun. And
I know, I promised I wouldn't say much about them, but hey, if you guys and gals, if you want to include us or invite us to your event, let us know what's going on. We'll try to work it out. Like I said, we're going to have the calendar coming up. Let us know where you are, where there's something going on. One of the postings this week I posted up was, what's your favorite shop? And if we were to visit, who do we have to talk to? Who do we got to meet? And so, I hadn't been to the Z-Car shop in a lifetime, it feels like. I'd been in the Z-Car shop back in the days of the Pizza Inn Z-Car racer, so that's how long ago that was. And I don't know, some guy at John Eagle European was I don't know, was he telling us not to come back or what was that? it was fun. But let us hear where you hang out. Let us know what shops you go to. Invite us out. Love to meet some of you guys and gals. And we'll have to get more connected. Like I said, we want to help promote the good side of the automotive culture around Central Texas. And, show everybody the good side of things. But in closing, we got to say farewell to one of our legends.
Yeah, Dave Kropp. He was the owner of the Cylinder Head Shop, apparently passed away. And he was a great guy. He built me an amazing motor for a 90 Corvette that at one of those projects that gets out of control, supercharged it. And then I said, well, I need more. And he built me a 400 small block that when we finally got that thing dialed in, it was making about 600 horsepower, 590 horsepower to the tires, and over 700 foot-pounds of torque. And I went through about three transmissions with that before. I actually sold that one to SW. He sold it, and the guy drove it down the street and blew up the transmission. So I think it went through four. So.
Yeah, my goodness.
But rest in peace, Dave Kropp.
Condolences to the family and friends there. And I think that just about wraps everything up.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. And
there you go. See you at the circuit.